What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is Article of the Week number 27, and today we're going to be looking into another BFR study that's blood flow restriction, but today we're going to be looking at a study that focuses on BFR for endurance. Previously, we've done a whole podcast on BFR for weightlifting because traditionally that's kind of where I guess it's used the most, or at least, you know, from a gym bro perspective, a lot of people know what BFR is, but it's not very commonly used for endurance, or at least not from my knowledge. So Tom pulled up this study and just wanted to compare BFR from just like traditional steady state and BFR to actually high intensity interval training, things like think of sprints, that'd be a HIIT style training. So Tom, do you want to just go over this study and just how BFR plays out?
Yeah, so this is a smaller study. I mean, it's hard to get like a large study when you're actually looking, getting people in an exercise physiology lab. So this study looked at 22 active men. They're all non-smokers. They're all exercising regularly. They're 18 to 30 years old. So, you know, a bunch of dudes in their prime. Like, it's a pretty good group of people to be looking at. And they're comparing high intensity intermittent exercise. Most people call that HIIT training. That's like the high intensity intermittent exercise. That's the lab term.
That's like the clinical term.
Yeah, exactly. So if you ever see HIIE, it means the same thing as HIIT. Aerobic exercise with blood flow restriction bands and a control group that did not exercise. And when they're talking BFR bands, they did it pretty tight. Because like the way I do it, I'm not like cutting off circulation. But when I was reading the experiment, it looked like they were coming in pretty close to that. So it seems like a very uncomfortable thing to do.
Yeah, we've talked about, if you want to listen to BFR as far as weightlifting standpoints, like I have experience with that. And so we have a podcast on that. You can just search BFR on the website. But it's very, very uncomfortable to do it in a weightlifting standpoint. But as far as working out with the weights, the whole set itself, if you're doing specifically like a BFR style training, might be a minute, might be 2 minutes max. But from these like steady state aerobic exercises, how long do you think these sessions would go?
I think it was 18 minutes.
See, that's crazy to me because it's honestly extremely uncomfortable, painful even.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. So they were measuring a few different measurements while they were working out. So ratings of perceived effort. So they were taking that's pretty much how hard does this feel? So, like, if you're just sitting down, that would be, like, a 1. If you're full-on sprinting, that would be a 10. So, how hard did it feel? And it goes on a scale from 1 to 10. They were measuring that every 3 minutes. So, at 3 minutes, how do you feel? 6 minutes, you know, and so on. They were also looking at oxygen consumption. That's, you know, how much are you breathing? And heart rate. Heart rate's a really good measurement on how stressful something is how stressful to the body heart rate's the best measurement for that. O2 consumption is pretty much how much you actually are working. So those two combined is a really good measurement. I kind of wish since they did look at oxygen consumption, I wish they were able to like break that down and to see how much lipids you were burning, how much carbohydrates you were burning and so on. But I'm just a nerd when it comes to that. They weren't really looking at this as a keto study, something like that. They were just looking at this as just overall heart rate, oxygen.
Yeah. And like you said, it's hard enough as it is to do a study like this, let alone like measure all those biomarkers at the same time.
Yeah, but you got it hooked up.
Just stick one more thing in them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're already breathing into a tube.
Mm-hmm. Just figure it out.
It's not that much different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so already explained RPE. So, you know, if something's very difficult, like a 9, but the benefits are low, it's not something you're likely to prescribe. So that's what RPE is used for. So, for example, like trying to do like one-legged split squats like on a BOSU ball, like how difficult is that going to be? That's going to be like a 9 out of 10. Like the benefits of doing that probably aren't going to be that much higher than if you were to just do normal squats. So a lot of people aren't going to prescribe telling you to do one-legged split squats on a BOSU ball because the benefits aren't that much better than the cons. So that's kind of what RPE is used for. So obviously, HIIT training resulted in the largest impacts on both heart rate and oxygen consumption, but it was only second on ratings of perceived effort. So aerobic exercise with the BFR bands was second in heart rate and oxygen consumption, but first in ratings of perceived effort, meaning that it resulted in the most discomfort by the end of the experiment, but it was only like the second physically taxing on your body. That's what like heart rate and oxygen is looking at, like how hard were you actually working? And then aerobic exercise without the bands was third in everything, and of course the control was fourth. So at least, you know, if that stands up, those should be third and fourth. So this, you know, there were no extreme variables in this study or no outliers. One thing that I wish this study would have looked at would be like the long-term effects of these exercises. So like what you would do with that is you would have one group only do BFR training, one group only do exercise training, and one group only do the HIIT training for like several weeks. You compare the VO2 max at the beginning of the trial, and then you compare their VO2 max at the end of the trial and look at it that way. I mean, that's probably a future study. So that's one thing I would like to see is like how well, like what are the adaptations that you're going to get from this type of exercise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think that definitely would make the study a million times better. And I want to just quickly, if people don't know, we've been talking about BFR a lot. If you don't know what that is, just in a nutshell, if you're running, or let's say like in my instance, if I did it weightlifting, I would tie a band around my upper arm and it blocks blood flow to my arm, but not blood return to the heart. And it's just, it makes your arm basically turn purple. At least my arm turned purple. And it's very, very painful. As you keep exercising the muscle, you build up these waste products, but you actually don't let it return to the heart at the same like rate. And it's very, very painful. And I guess if you do it for running, you tie these bands around your upper thighs, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's just not a very comfortable situation. So it makes sense that the perceived effort for the BFR like training group was the highest. Like it makes complete sense to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, based off of this study, it just seems like HIIT training is still the best, you know, and it feels easier than the aerobic exercise with BFR. So that's just another reason to do it. Like, why would you want to do something that feels harder and it doesn't seem like it's going to give you more benefit?
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, HIIT's training hard enough as it is. Mm-mm.
Yeah, so, I mean, still, I would say HIIT training is the best. But it seems like there could be some additional benefits to, like, aerobic exercise with the bands and then without them. So it seems like it's still better than that. But there's one thing that I was just kind of thinking about. So HIIT training is great at increasing your body's ability to deliver oxygen and nutrients to your muscles. So, like, HIIT training is how you train your heart to get stronger, beat faster, and pump more blood throughout your body. So that's how you get oxygen nutrients to your muscles. But doing, like, aerobic exercise, that, like, long, slow training, that's better at increasing your muscle's ability to extract those nutrients from the blood. So you do want to do a lot of HIIT training, but you don't want to completely avoid aerobic exercise if you're looking at increasing your endurance. So my concern is that if you're doing those, like, long, slow training sessions with those BFR bands, you might kind of slow down some of those adaptations since blood flow is being restricted.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for sure.
That's why I'd like to see like a long-term study to see how this actually impacts your VO2 max overall, because aerobic exercise by itself might be better than this when you like think about that factor.
Yeah, if you measured it long enough and focus on that like variation, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I'd like to see a few more studies before I like fully adapt to this, you know, fully start doing a bunch of training sessions with it. But I, you know, came across a study, got me thinking, so I tried this out myself. There's a 2-mile run that I do regularly with my dogs. I do it when I was training for my 100 miler, I was doing that pretty much every day. Since I'm not really training for anything, I do it like 3 times a week. But yeah, it's a easy, nice little slow jog. Gets my heart rate up a little bit. I'm not breathing hard or anything like that. It's not, I don't consider it a training run. But today I was like, all right, I'll do the same run, same pace, but I'll do it with the bands. I didn't notice an increase in heart rate. I thought I would, but it was also really cold this morning. So that could have explained that away. Because when it's cold, your heart rate really just doesn't get as high. But I noticed really early on that my breathing like felt pretty labored. And like my legs started hurting really early on. So it pretty much felt like I was running uphill like the entire time. That's what I would kind of compare it to.
What bands do you have? Do you just have elastic bands that you tie off around your quads?
Yeah, so they're Velcro.
Okay.
And they are a little elastic. So they're not the, like the Katsu, like occlusion bands mm-hmm. that like cut off circulation altogether. These have a little bit of give to them.
Yeah, because I have bands similar to that. Yeah, they're like Velcro bands and they were, I don't know, $10, $20 on Amazon, but they do have bands on Amazon. I forget, they're hundreds of dollars. Do you remember how much they cost?
The Katsu bands, they're not $1,000, but they're like, I think they're like $700. Katsu ones are really expensive, but those are super precise. Like the Velcro ones that I have, I got them for like, yeah, $10, $15. They're not very precise at all.
Yeah,
like Ruby. I'm just like, my left leg feels tight. I'm trying to like match the right leg with the same amount of tightness. You know, it's not very...
It's not accurate at all.
The Katsu ones are.
Yeah. So we talked about that a little bit in that, again, the previous BFR podcast. So you can listen to that. But the Katsu ones are, you can think of those as like the name brand. That's kind of like the originator of this stuff. And they're almost like medical grade blood pressure cuffs. And they're definitely, if you're really about this BFR life, it probably would be beneficial to invest in them. But I never did. Even though I think BFR training does have its benefits, at least in my world, in the weightlifting world, I think it really does have benefits. But it's something I always forget to do. And I think it's probably because my brain is telling me not to do it subconsciously just because it is uncomfortable. Like Tom said, this run for him normally is nothing. A 2-mile run with his dogs, he can probably do in his sleep. But if you put these bands on, it's like running uphill for 2 miles. That's a completely different story.
Yeah, like my legs are a little sore right now. Like, it feels like I ran for 20 miles and not 2.
Yeah, and so you're trained. Like, you're not an untrained person. 2 miles should be nothing.
Yeah, so it's... I definitely noticed that it's harder. It felt harder. I just don't know if those adaptations are going to be beneficial from doing it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to see a couple more studies with this. I'm definitely going to kind of look around and see. But yeah, I'll also try this myself a few times. I'm probably not going to only do BFR runs. I'll probably kind of mix and match just because I have a little skeptical at the moment.
No, but and I think it's rightfully so. Yeah, I think it's something to consider. And I think in the weightlifting world, I think BFR is more established as far as the benefits of it. I 100% think it does have benefits. And like I said, it does have a place in any like well-formulated program. I think once a week, once a month, something like that, getting some BFR training is actually very beneficial. But from a running standpoint, I would never do it just because I said, well, one, I'm not going to run, period. But two, it's hard enough having these things wrapped around your arm for 2 or 3 minutes. I couldn't imagine them. How long did it take you to run 2 miles?
It's like I think it took me like 24 minutes. It takes me somewhere between 20 to 30 minutes because I take my dogs first thing in the morning. So they're using the bathroom all the time. So yeah. It pretty much just depends on like how much I let them stop. Mm-hmm. It's like what usually determines the pace.
But say even at the quickest pace, it's 20 minutes. I couldn't imagine having something tightly wrapped around one of my extremities for 20 minutes. And so yeah, no thank you coming from me. But I think like Tom said, I think there's something here. There 100% is something in BFR training. And I think training from an aerobic standpoint, if you do it right, can kind of reap benefits of it.
Yeah, I can definitely see how this can lead to like increasing strength and just increasing like muscle adaptations that way, like size and strength wise, and probably heart rate too. Since you are training harder, your heart's going to be beating faster. I just don't know if all the benefits, like if you're trying to use this for like marathon training or like ultra training, I don't know if all those benefits are going to be there because you can't do it for as long and you are kind of inhibiting some of that blood flow. So there's a couple adaptations that you're not fully going to be getting. So I would just like to see a few other studies to just kind of looking at VO2 max overall before I like totally tells people this is what you should be doing to increase your endurance. Mm-hmm. Increasing strength, there's so many benefits, there's so many studies looking into it, and it definitely increases strength. I'm just not quite ready to say that it increases endurance yet.
Yeah, no, I think that's a reasonable conclusion for sure. But yeah, so you can go on the website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. You can check out this post. You can also check out our previous post on BFR. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, so feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. That's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.